lift one hand and say, Our Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, this morning we receive your word in our hearts, in faith and meekness and gladness. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ your Son, even as he sees us in him. He's glorified and we're edified. Amen. Matthew's Gospel 28. Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always unto the end of the age. And I want us to take note of verse 19. Make disciples. A disciple is a follower. We're looking at recognizing or finding out God's direction in a simple way. And we need to find out, how does God lead his own children? How does he do it? And verse 19 should be an anchor point at this point, this time. It says, making disciples. Well, you have to train. You know, the in the world of the four gospels, when they use disciples, is the way we call apprentice. Someone who learns an art, who learns a practice. So the first thing about disciples is disciples follow. Today, you have all sorts of messages, not prevalent, but you have people say, well, I'm coming to Jesus so that he can give me a good job, or can give me a wife or husband, or give me a child, or make me travel to a country, another country. And what you have there is idolatry. I was saying this in the second service, that there is this thing of creating God the way you want him to be, then believing in what you have created. You created it, so you believe what you created. But you see, the truth is, salvation is evidenced by discipleship. Now, discipleship is not salvation, but it is the evidence of it. Disciples therefore follow. Disciples follow. Disciples follow. Word mathetes, also used for follower. Making disciples. So how does this happen? Now, it was easier for the world of the four gospels, because here you have Jesus, or the Pharisees, they all had disciples. So what it means is that anywhere the discipler is the master, you go there. You are there. You are listening. One of the key things is that you don't have two disciples. That's why he said, no man can serve two masters. It's not the way we say master. When we say master, we are probably talking about someone who has maybe a tyrannical, violent rulership. No. Master is like teacher. So that's why you can't have two pastors. You can't have that. It's inconceivable. You can't have two persons whom you defer to. It doesn't work like that. It does. Anyone who says that doesn't even know what he's talking about. No, you can't have that. So he says you can't have two. You will love one and hate the other. Now, the word hate means prefer one over the other. You can't have two persons who instruct you the same way. It can never happen. Because that's the way it is. So, in discipleship, therefore, there's an absolute following toward Jesus. So, in those days, you go with the discipler, you go to his meetings. If you look at in Acts 1, about 21 and 22, when the choice of who to replace Judas was going to be made, amen, They rolled out the list and said, the person that does not miss prayer group, can I have an amen? Oh, come on. Amen. It's not late for the services, can I have an amen? It doesn't collect Bibles at the entrance, can I have an amen? Amen. Who is in and out Who doesn't miss the meetings? Doesn't send a text at the beginning of the service, sorry, I won't be around today. I have to take care of God. Sorry, I have to take care of God. Oh, talk like that. So here we are. It's in and out. Who was with us from the baptism of John till the day that he was taken up from among us? So that is how a disciple is. It's discernible. He will be found. That's why when they saw Peter and was hanging around where Jesus was captured, he said, ah, bros, I know you. Say me, I've never been here before. Because he's been seen around Jesus. So a disciple is someone who follows. He's trained to listen. And have you also observed that in the four Gospels, when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees, the disciples didn't say anything. They didn't say, Master, let me talk to them too. Are you done? Let me add my own. No, they kept quiet. When they had questions, they were asking. They're learning how to act. Praise the Lord. Who's following what I'm saying here? It's what we learn. We learn it in the faith. You learn Christianity. You don't say, I was born into a Christian home. Are you the home? You learn it. You are taught. When I got born again, I'm still born again. They told me, you are now a Christian. Remove your tithing. No tithing. Remove your tithing. I removed my tithing. He said, this is my shirt that doesn't glorify God. Ah, what is it? Now, of course, that might be the wrong application, but there's a truth in what they are doing. You are now taught. So you must come for evangelism in the evening. My first day in Christ, I not even used 6 hours. I was still a newborn baby in the hospital of the spirit. And they told me, Oga, I'm going for evangelism. What is evangelism? You are going to share the good news so that we won't go to hell. Like you are not supposed to go. Yeah. Today? Why not tomorrow? Said, no, tomorrow might be too late. You never heard those messages before. Tomorrow might be too late. Those who wanted to give their life to Christ at 11:55, at 12 o'clock, dead at 11:55. That's threatening you with salvation. Salvation by church. Look at your wristwatch, it's 11:45. Ah, okay, let me enter now. So there is that part. So now, in this series, we have established that Jesus is the I Am of the Old Testament, right? You remember that? And we said that every time Jesus was teaching, what books were they reading? The Old Testament. Genesis through to Malachi. You need to get our new books, the latest ones. Our recent studies and teachings have been to focus a lot on the Old Testament. You need to get them. We're helping many believers, including ourselves, in how to read the Old Testament. So they had the Old Testament books, as we call it. They were reading from it. So in Matthew 28 verse 20, when it says, lo, I am with you. Look at the instructive words. Teaching them, verse 20, to observe. Terio in the Greek. It means to keep your eyes on it. As if it's going to get lost. Keep your eyes on it. To observe what things soever I have commanded you. So where we have the instruction of Jesus, and we are praying for God to talk to us, what are we doing? We are walking in disobedience. Where you have His commandments, entelomai, Matthew 28:20, and you are now asking, Lord, speak to me. Did I tell you my own experience in the room? I told you in this series, right? When I saw the wind enter. I know someone like that. She wanted to hear voices. When her God speak to her, she had a whole diary writing nonsense. She was going mad. And you on Sunday, make sure you don't eat rice. How is that possible? If you tell me that one, I will bind you and lose you. Make sure you don't eat rice. Make sure you don't watch a Chelsea game. That can be God's will. That one is likely to be God talking to you. So she will write so many things. Make sure you don't greet. If you greet, you don't answer. God though.
that when you eat the meat, don't chew the bone. Your spirit. I'm not joking. You think I'm not making this up? The pastor called me and said, "You are the one that can help us." Said, "You are the one that can teach the word." This was in 1996 or so. So I said, "What are you writing?" She said, she was showing me. She was even reading it out. I said, "You just run mad." You know? So I said, "Share God's word with me. Share about salvation, eternal life." She didn't have a scripture. She didn't have any scripture. So I said, the Bible says, but our diary was fuller than the Bible. "To observe what things soever I have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you." So how does that happen? When he says, "Lo, I'm with you," we know that he's talking about the work of the Spirit. We saw that earlier. John 14, 16, "I pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because he seeth him not. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Yea, a little while," he says, "the world will see me, but you will see me no more, but you see me, because I leave, you leave also. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you in that day. You will know that I am in my Father, and I am in you, and you are in me." So Jesus, therefore, tells us that the promised Spirit of the Old Covenant will be the indwelling of God in us. Therefore, when you open the book of Genesis, the very first activity of God in the earth amongst men, Genesis 1:2, the Spirit of God, or Ruach, the wind, as the figurative speaking says, the Spirit of God. Genesis 6:3, "My spirit shall no longer strive with man, shall not always strive with man." Genesis 6:3. The word "strive" is the word "din" in the Hebrew. It means to teach, to judge, to take a hold with. "My spirit shall no longer." My spirit shall no longer. So God walks with men by his Spirit. Through his Spirit. So if we are to be taught to follow Christ, we're also to be taught to follow the leading of the Spirit. We're to be taught to follow the leading of the Spirit. Pay very good attention to this. In John 1:14, scripture says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us." The word there is tabernacle. The Word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us. And when you use tabernacle, it's an Exodus language, which means this is where God dwells. And the tabernacle in the Exodus of Israel was meant to show them that God was walking with them. So it was a moving tent. It was a moving tent. I want to show you something very quickly. Therefore, the God's presence is a moving presence. What does that mean? That means he wants to fill the earth with his presence. And when they get to the promised land, they will now build a temple. So what is God's intention? Is to cover the earth with his glory. And then when the earth is fully covered, the whole earth becomes his temple. So, that is the tabernacle, which is Jesus in the flesh, God in the flesh, now represents for us God's leading, his direction. That tabernacle of the incarnation is now reproduced in the indwelling at salvation. Not all that. John 14, 16 to 20. So if we are reading the Old Testament text, in what we're saying now, our mind goes to Genesis 17. Genesis 17. Let's see the different things that was explained. Genesis 17. You learning something? Genesis 17. When Abraham was 90 years old and 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I, Almighty God. Then he says, walk before me and thou will be perfect. Almighty God. In the Hebrew is the word Shaddai. We call it El Shaddai, but it's Shaddai. S-H-A-D-D-A-Y. Now, why it's called El Shaddai is because in that culture, they put E-L before any deity. But it's I am Shaddai. Okay. Or Shaddai. When he said that, it means, now, there's a figurative meaning of that. I am Almighty. Which means, I'm double-breasted. I am able. That's where you have the word God is able. I am able. Now the first thing is that Abraham recognizes his mortality. One. He recognizes his mortality, his frailties, and his weaknesses. And so if God says, walk before me and you will be perfect, simply means I am able to bear your infirmity and make you strong. I am able. Say, God is able. Now, when we say God is able, what should be on your mind is not first and foremost or only somebody who can move this building to the next place. Yes, he'll do that for you. But it also means someone that can partner with you. God made himself like a human partner with Abraham. He called a covenant. Covenants are between men and nations. God, who is the creator of the world, becomes a partner with a man. In other words, he takes on Abraham's weaknesses, his liabilities, and he says, I'll be your guarantee. I am able. And so when he got on Mount Moriah, and he saw, Isaac asked him, where is the sacrifice? He says, Jehovah, God has made a provision. What does that mean, provision? The word jireh means to see ahead of time and make it up. So which means that whatever would have happened to him eternally, God has made it up. He will give a lamb. The Lord will provide a lamb. Jireh. We call it Jehovah Jireh. One who makes. That's why you have the word providence. Provision. Pro. Before. Before. So which means, either in my past, he takes care of it. In my present, he takes care of it. And things I can't even see, he takes care of it. What is the worst thing you can't see? What is the thing you cannot predict? What happens when a man dies? He says, he takes care of it. So he is almighty. He calls him Jireh. So when he goes into Egypt, was it in this service I explained redemption to you? Not this service. This service. Kingsman Redeemer. Okay, very fine. So because I knew I did the Wednesday too and also yesterday. So, oh sorry, Wednesday is not for everybody. So he's going into Egypt. As who? As Abraham's partner. What kind of partner is that? That's a cool partner, man. You are not there, he's acting. Right? He's acting on your behalf. That is how that's why he said to Moses, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, in their culture, if you mention someone's name like that, that means the person is alive. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That is, I kept my promise. And I'm going to show you that I've kept my promise by setting you free from the hands of Pharaoh. So when he says, what do we call you? He said, call me I am. I am because I said I'm almighty. I am able. I am able to be a man. I am able to come and set you free. I'm able to dwell with you. I'm able to dwell in you. I'm able to be your friend. I'm able to be your brother. Who's following what I'm saying here? I am able. Almighty. So in Exodus 6 and 2, say, by my name, Almighty was I known to them, but not by Yahweh, or I am Jehovah. So in other words, by the promise he made to Abraham, I love the way the writer of Hebrews puts it. He said that God, seeing that he could swear, okay, it's in my notes, I'll get there, by no greater, okay, I thought it should be in my notes, by no greater, because that's how the covenant. Say, how would I know you do it? How many of you have to submit referees when you are getting a job? And when the person, and when you do something, they call the person. See your person you are recommending. You know? That's even the light one. There are some that they make you liable for the person's actions. There was one like that in this church that they brought such kind of notes to me. So the fellowship pastor said, I said, no problem, I'll do it. I said, Pastor, have you read the context, pretext, and the content of what they're asking you to sign? I said, but he's a brother in Christ. Pastor, we are all brothers. There are some brethrenized brothers. But I said, well, I'll have to trust him because I teach him. I'm not asking you to drop your own tomorrow. I said, I've known him for years. I should trust him. I should trust that he will do right. That's how I was saying. That's what God has done for Abraham. I'll be the guarantee of what I'm saying for you and with you. We'll get to that in a moment. So I am, I is, and I will be. God therefore makes a commitment. And many of us are not used to people making commitments and sticking by it. Whatever God says he will do to my past, in my presence, in my future, I know he's able. What about you? I know he's able. Because if he talks to an Abraham who was an idol worshipper, and says, you are my friend. And he says, you are diakahil in the Greek, or sedeki in the Hebrew. You are without fault. Are you sure? Yes. He takes care of his past. In his present, he calls him friend. And in the future, he says, in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And through Jesus Christ, are we not all here? God kept his word. Who's following what I'm saying here? He kept his word. From one man, through his kids. In case you think he's talking about his natural children, it's not Ishmael, it's Isaac. So it's not his natural children. It's not Esau, it's Jacob. So it's not being born as an Israelite. No! It is believing in the almightiness of God to save, hallelujah, to justify, hallelujah, and to redeem. Can I have an amen? Amen. Abraham believed in God. I love what E.W. Kenyon calls it. E.W. Kenyon, in my opinion, is one of the most outstanding teachers since Paul. Some guys don't like it. That's why I'm saying it. He said, when Abraham believed God, that it was lack of words. Remember that day that I read that material? I was almost crying. He said, it's an unqualified committal that I'm not going to trust any other thing but you. Is that not what salvation is? That's what it is. I trust you with everything. My yesterday, today, and forever. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Some guys don't talk forever because they think life starts and ends in the earth. No, you are wrong. It doesn't. Life starts and stops in their time, amen. So when he goes into Egypt, according to his promise. And he became exactly what they needed. You know, I know God is what I need. Praise God. He's able. Amen. He's able. God is able. That's a theme of the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 9. God is able. Ephesians 3:20. Unto him that is able. Say he's able. Hallelujah. He's able. Jude 24. Is able to keep you from falling. Why? Because he said, I am Shaddai. He raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And he has justified me. Hallelujah. Are you there? Come on, are you there? So he calls himself Abba in the Hebrew. So to Abraham, he will provide every need. Every need that he couldn't provide. Now, people have identified that with material sustenance. No. Abraham already came out of his father's house with wealth. Praise God. He was a wealthy guy. And in fact, his practices also had konakona. Konakona is the Greek word for, you know what I'm saying? Abraham of the Most High God. Abraham had his own failings. Yes, he did. He once lied, even though it was half truth. Abraham, he once lied, half truth. And all of that. But God says, I'm going to take care of it. He didn't say that, well, keep doing it. No. Walk before me and you will be perfect. So Abraham trusted God. He believed. And so God made a promise. What we call today the new covenant is a promise God gave to Abraham. That's the new covenant. The promise he gave to Abraham is what you can safely call the new covenant. Hallelujah. So, in that promise is what takes care of tomorrow and what took care of yesterday. Something that I was saying something earlier, that it wasn't limited to material sustenance. There's a song we sing by Dom Wayne. I love the song. I sing it. I can sing it in this service. I like it. It's true. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my need. According to his riches in glory, he will keep his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me, for me, for me. Then there's another one. How was that song again? You are more than enough. You are more than enough for me. Your El Shaddai, my God of plenty, Rolls Royce. I love Rolls Royce though. You don't like it? When they give you, give me. The minute you get it, just know that. Just say, oh, this thing I don't like. Pastor, I'll help you like it. But that's not your need. Praise the Lord. My all-sufficient one, Lord God Almighty, you are more than enough. When he did that on Mount Moriah, why Abraham called him Jireh was not Rolls Royce. Hallelujah. He was the one who would bear our weaknesses, our sins and iniquities. That is our provider. Hallelujah. Let me see how you're following what I'm saying here. You getting this? Right. So within that fact of God is the promise to also lead us and guide us. Go to Hebrews chapter 6 and 18. Hebrews chapter 6 and 18. Learning some? Hebrews 6, 18. Alright, I'm going to start from 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. That means, who is going to guarantee God? Say, I'm coming here to be God's guarantee. Some pastors try to do it. They try to do it. They say, you know, but they say, well, are you sure you are going to make it? Are you sure your name is in the book of life? I've told people, whenever they ask you that question, ask the person back. Is your own there? If he says yes, say, how do you know? You say by faith. Say, same here. Are you there? You know, there was one service I attended years back. And that man was the denomination of the church. I was supposed to preach. after someone. And there was an evening service, was a convention. So the man was saying, how many of you here? If Jesus is to come in next 5 minutes, will you not go down your knees and be asking for forgiveness of sins? If you have, you, how many of you can do it? I just raised my hand. Me. He said, and I said, Madam, you want to say something? I said, no, I only answered you. So he was embarrassed. Now that I was younger then, I won't do that today. Today I'll just be laughing. So he said, that's serious. So you are very righteous. You are very holy. I was looking at him. So you are telling, are you telling me now that there is no sin in your life? Are you telling me now that he did not do, I was not laughing. He was not getting really embarrassed. Are you telling me now that you pray? Eh? I said, I don't do confession of sins. So there will be no need. I said, even if I'm afraid, that's not what I'm going to do. God, I don't do it. You don't confess your sins. Hey! He thought I was ignorant. That he was the one that was ignorant. So that evening, when I was supposed to teach, I now started from where he stopped. So as he was started, I just noticed he was opening the Bible many times. Everywhere, anywhere. As long as you don't open Revelation 34. Verse 6, I'll meet you there. So you know, he says because he could swear by no greater. He swore by himself. What does that mean? I will be the one to carry it out myself. I'll do it myself. This is the proof that Jesus Christ is God. Hallelujah. Because he swore to carry it out all by himself. Hear me. The work of salvation is 100% done by God. Jonah said it. He says, salvation is of the Lord. Jonah 2:9. That's the name of Jesus. Yeshua is of the Lord. He's of the Lord. Does a man cooperate with God? Yes, he does. But it's not that cooperation that is his salvation. It's what God did that is salvation. We accept it by faith. Yeah. In our hearts. And that has to be very clear. In our minds. I tell people oftentimes, the concept of teaching that salvation cannot be lost, it is foundation school. It's not like when you now know it, you are now a man of God. When you know that one, you are a bishop. No! It's not basic. It's not even supposed to be something you will be carrying on your head. Well, you can put it on your head though. It's just a fact. Because God didn't swear by any other thing. He swore by himself. And he can provide. In our past, in our present, and in our future. He is I am. He's in every place. Why do you think he would say, Lo, I'm with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you. None of us can say that to anybody. Have you even stayed with yourself? People tell yourself, till death do us part, I'm forever yours. On the marriage day, they'll be dancing, I'm forever yours. The day they, one of these, when they grow old, by the grace of God, and one of them will die, they'll be like, oh, you left me. It's supposed to be forever. Yes, at the altar. But this 1 year died. Give them 1 year. They are saying, my children are telling me I can date again. Don't do what you want to do, John. But God said, he's here, here, and here. He gave his word. Praise God. What he told Abraham, I've seen it already because I'm saying, praise God. I have followed the same step of Abraham. I'm born again. Are you following what I'm saying? How do we know God kept his promise? Because you are born again. Hallelujah. The word has worked. Glory to God. The word has worked. Glory to God. All the nations of the earth, the gospel is spreading the influence all over the world through a promise he made to one man. Glory to God. Are you there? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hebrews chapter 6. You learning something? saying, surely blessing I'll bless thee. Multiplying, I'll give you more houses. That's what he's saying.
No.
That multiplying is what has happened to us now. I explained blessing and cursing to you, right? Did I? Blessing is you are welcome. Cursing is you are not. We are welcome into God's redemptive plan. And that plan is multiplying in the earth. And verse 15, and so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater. An oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein, oh my God. Remember my friend. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Two immutable things. The Greek word there means unchangeable. Something you cannot go back on. The Greek word there, A-M-E-T-A-T-H-E-T-O-S. Ametathetos in the Greek. A-M-E-T-A-T-H-E-T-O-S. Now, you have a word called metatitemi. M-E-T-A-T-I-T-H-E-M-I. M-E-T-A-T-I-T-H-E-M-I. It means to change from to another. So when it says immutable, ametatosis, it means I cannot change what I said. I cannot change what I said. So whatever he said and promised, he has to do it. And he has. And he says to us that he has confirmed it. Confirmed it. He has confirmed it. Hebrews chapter 6. He has confirmed it, verse 17, by an oath. He has confirmed it. The word confirm there means to sponsor. Mesiteo in the Greek, M-E-S-I-T-E-U-O. To sponsor. It is used for taking a bail on behalf of someone. To come in between. To come in between. An oath. Oh, I love this one. Orkos in the Greek. H-O-R-K-O-S. Is when you limit yourself. So God limited himself to what? Think about it. He gave Abraham a promise that in his seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And we began to see whether it's Isaac or Jacob. Pay attention here. If you lose this one, you should not have come. Or Joseph. Or Moses. Two to David. All of them is kids. They were failing and faltering. They'll prophesy. They'll be good sometimes, they'll be bad. Because he made a promise. He limited himself to that person, Abraham. It was therefore impossible for him not to be Abraham's son. Hallelujah. Because he gave an oath. So if Isaac can do it, if Jacob can do it, if Joseph can do it, if Moses can do it, if David can do it, I will do it. You'll do exactly what? I will be your seed. Because I am almighty. Who's following what I'm saying? He confirmed it with an oath. An oath means you limit yourself. No option. No alternative. So when it came through Jesus, it was therefore befuddling. How can the master be the seed of Abraham and then be the God of Abraham? Because he's almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Like, no. He limited himself. An oath. I'm going to confine myself to this. You shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That's why the next verse, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and had entered into that within the veil, whither the forerunner for us entered, Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Forerunner there means somebody who goes ahead, prodromos in the Greek, to found a nation or found a city. Therefore, in the promise he made, Abraham, he was in Abraham's future, took care of what he said he would do. That means by covenant, by promise, by character, and by nature, God is committed to my future. He's committed to my past. He's committed to my present. He's also committed to my future. Therefore, he leads me into his will. He doesn't ask me to do what he will not lead me to do, because he's committed to his word. So the leading of God is his character. It is not a reward of prayer. It's not the benefit of serving God. No. It is part and parcel of his character. It is a crucial part of his word. Some people think that God is, you know, God is waiting to talk to you, but he won't talk to you until you start to speak in tongues. And you speak in tongues, then you speak in tongues for like 10 hours. Then he says, the way I'm seeing you, I think your 10 hours qualifies for one sentence. One sentence. Are you ready? You're not ready. Two more hours. Okay. So therefore, you will go full stop. You know, just 12 hours you prayed. So one more day. After that day, I can give you two more phrases. But if you can do this and do this, I will give you a whole paragraph and you will be blessed. No. Before you started praying, he was leading you. Let me even tell you, he was the one that led you to pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, there's someone I know, and it's a blessing to me. I know that sometimes God is leading me, I don't know. I'm that confident that he's leading me, even when my head can't grasp it. Because I know I'm born of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I won't walk in darkness. I'm so confident that he's leading me. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Because I know he keeps his word. God doesn't keep your word, he keeps his own. You have faith in his own. Hallelujah. That's why he goes to Israel to lead them, and they were abusing him for 40 years. What's special about him? All the miracles, 40 years. How many of you have ever done discipleship? 4 weeks. And every time you come, the guy shuts the door. Go! You brought him food though. Not Indomie. Proper food. Food, jollof rice. Nigerian jollof rice, the real one. You know the Ghanaian friends will say, what do you mean? Remember when I went to preach for a friend in Ghana? They said, they are going to give me an option. They will have Ghanaian jollof rice and Nigerian jollof rice. That I should choose one. I said, what kind of question is that? That is not even a temptation. That's a direct leading. You know, and he gave the guy food. He said, thank you, bro. He said, I need transport fare. You give him. Then the next day, you thought you had done your follow-up very well. The next day, pa, bro John, I'm sleeping. But I told you I was coming. So, even if you didn't give me the food, somebody else would have given me. That's what we are doing to God. He said, what is it? When he took them through the Red Sea, got them out of the clutches of Pharaoh, you know what they told him? They created an idol and said it was that idol that did it. Something they created themselves. Those guys there. He said, this idol set us free. When Moses came back, I said, Aaron, what have you done? Aaron said, I just took their gold, dropped it in the fire, and it became an idol. I don't know. And God kept leading them. Every time they say, take us back to Egypt, take us back to Egypt. Who told you to even take us out of Egypt? Who told you to do it? He said, I'll give you the land I promised. Which land? When they were close by, a few weeks or a few days. Let's go. He said, no. Let's get witnesses. Who will confirm? You want to? Yes. Ah, yes, you know, we have to be very careful these days. We're in our Egypt Jejeli came to drag us out. Yes, Pharaoh was an evil guy, but then we could have managed. What was the big deal? Yes, I know. The new Pharaoh was very bad. I'm sure that the next one will be better. He said, "You want to take witness?" Yes. He chose Jericho. They went. They came back and said, "Yes, the place is full of milk and honey, but," he said, "we said it all." They had a vigil. 3 million people doing vigil and crying and murmuring. "Why didn't you just leave us in?" They kept saying it for 40 years. But you know what? He never left them. Why? He gave his word to his covenant partner. How much more? Hallelujah. How much more? Say, "I'm led by God." Say, "I'm led by God." So never should you fret. "I'm led by God. I'm led by God." Glory to God. So in Romans chapter 8, Paul says to us in verse 14, "As many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Say, "I'm led by the Spirit of God." The word "led" means to carry you, to bear you. And that's what happened to Israel. God led them through the wilderness. Exodus. So if I know, how many of you know God led you out of darkness? Out of the flesh. So why are you fretting? He's still leading you. Glory to God. Leading you. Bearing your weaknesses, your imperfection, and yet leading you. Paul says, "We have not received," verse 15, Romans 8, "the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have the spirit of adoption. Hereby we cry, Abba, Father." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word adoption is a Greek word, heutesia. Heutesia. H-O-U-I-T-T-E-S-I-A. Two words, oios, used for a son and heir. Someone who takes your promise. Someone who takes your wealth. Someone who takes your inheritance. Someone who takes your property. Takes your authority. Then the word titemi. It means to put in a place of being an heir. That means the promise God gave to Abraham is our inheritance. Hallelujah. Are you there? We are that heir. By his spirit. Romans 8. 15. Then 16 says, "For the Spirit bears witness." Oh my God. Some material in the Greek. "With our spirit that we are the children of God." Hallelujah. God leads us in this earth. In John 17:15, he says, "Take them not out of this world, but keep them in the, away from evil." Take them not out. We have this thing that God took him home. You know, because God was missing him. He said, "Take them out. Don't take them out. Keep them." We're kept by God. We're kept by his word. So watch this. We're led in this life. We're led. Led now by his spirit. So we need to find out, what does that leading produce? What does it produce? When he led Israel out of Egypt, he led them to the land, to what he promised. So we should ask ourselves, what did he promise? What did he promise Abraham? "All the nations of the earth will be blessed." He promised to partner with Abraham to save the whole world. That's why he called Israel house of Egypt. To save the whole world. God's plan. Anything God does in the earth is in his plan of salvation. Anything is in his plan of salvation. Hallelujah. Anything he does is in his plan of salvation. "In you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." all the families. Genesis 12:3. So the work of the Spirit in the earth today, you know, we started by Genesis 1:2. Remember that? The first notion of the Spirit in the earth. What was the first thing we read about the Spirit? What is it? Light over darkness. Is that salvation? Redemption? The new creation? So what is the work of the Spirit through me? The same thing. So write this down. The leading of the Spirit is through you, but it is not about you. It's through you, but it's not about you. It's not about you. Not about you. So we are led now. We are led into that inheritance. What God gave to Abraham was to save the nations and the families of the earth. And that is his leading today. When he took Israel out of Egypt, he said, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And he gave them a commission. Exodus 4:22 and Exodus 19:5 and 6. He said, you will be my priest in the earth. You'll be my priest. You'll be my servant. I'll walk through you to put down idols and entrench in the hearts of men faith in God. I'll walk through you to remove unrighteousness and plant righteousness. I'll walk through you to remove injustice and put justice. I'll walk through you to remove evil and plant good. And that is still is leading today. Who's following what I'm saying here? Where Israel failed, who succeeded? Jesus. What did Jesus come to do? What God said to Abraham. Let me see how you're following this. Are you following well? So here we are. That leading, therefore, is found in the written word. That leading is found in the written word. So we said, what is the result of that leading? 2 Timothy 3:15. From a child you have known the Holy Scriptures. Paul writing to Timothy. From a child. Brephos. Brephos, there is a child in the womb. An infant child. But he's referring to spiritually speaking. A child. You have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, or the faithfulness that is in Christ Jesus. Then verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for, pay attention, doctrine. 2 Timothy 3:16. Then it says, for reproof, for correction. Now pay attention to the last word. For instruction in righteousness. That word is the Greek word paideia. I mentioned it last week, I think. P-A-I-D-I-E-A. Or P-A-D-I-E-A. I want you to listen very well. That word is father-son training. Father-son training. So that instruction is not an instruction you give to a servant. You give to a son. You see the same word in Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition, paideia, of the Lord. Father, son. Hebrews 12 and verse 5. Hebrews 12 and verse 5. Have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto what? Children. As unto children. So he's quoting Proverbs now. Proverbs 3:11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges, that was scourges, not original, every son whom he receives. Proverbs 3:11 and 12. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chastens not? Verse 8. If you be without chastisement, wherefore all are bastards, are partakers, sorry. Then you are bastards and not sons. So this instruction proves to us that we are what?
Sons.
Are you there? That we are sons. You know, I started by saying, discipleship is not salvation, but it's a proof of it. It shows that we are sons. Verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto who? The Father of spirits, and live. So this is spiritual training, spiritual education, and spiritual instruction. So we have family upbringing or family training. So write this down and it's key. One, God's leading is in a father's voice. God's leading is in a father's voice. Or as a father. Number two, his leading is in a shepherd's voice. Or as a shepherd. A father's voice or as a father. In a shepherd's voice or as a shepherd. Three, it's in a brotherly voice or a brother's voice or as a brother. Then it is in a master's voice. It's in a master's voice. It is not our master to become our father. Is our father, which translates to being our master. So therefore, we are made to respond to God as sons. We are made to respond to him as sheep to a shepherd, as a brother to another, and also as a servant to a master. Hallelujah. Say, I naturally follow the leading of God. It's the simplest thing that I do. I do follow God's leading. I do know how to be led. I do know how to do his bidding. As I act on God's word, I'm led by God. As I act on God's word, I follow his voice. As I act on God's word, I follow the shepherd. As I act on God's word, I follow his leading. Amen. So the first thing you need to take out of your mind is never think you have to pray to have it. Never think that God is not talking to you. Never think that God will talk to you. Never think that God should talk to you. First of all, know that God is talking to you. Let me ask you. Ever since I have been teaching, who has been talking to you? See, it's that simple. It's that simple. Many times we make simple things complicated and complicated things simple. It's that simple. Hey, if I didn't have anything move in my spirit, that's your problem. Oh. You've heard him already. You've heard him already. And you're going to hear him again. I'm telling you, in your car or the bus on the road, you're still going to hear him. I'm saying to you, when you get home, you are going to hear it. I'm saying to you, even when you are trying to do something else, you are going to hear it. I'm saying to you that when you are walking and you are not even conscious of anything, you are going to hear him. Because he gave his word. I said he gave his word. Now we have to now learn to follow it. I'm led by God. I'm led by God. I am not confused. I am not confused. I am not confused. I am not confused. I am led by God. I'm led by God. Talk in tongues a bit. Come on. I'm led by God. I want us to practice it this week. That assurance and confidence you have, practice it this week. Today, I'm led by God. As I'm driving, as I've been driven, as I'm in the bus, as I'm in just I'm led by God. So there's no fear in my heart. No, there's none. I'm led by God. Come on. I'm led by God. Talking talk. I'm led by God. I'm led by God. I'm free from error. And where I make mistakes, he's still there. He will talk me out of it. He will lead me out of it. Where I even fall or I miss a step, he will still take me out of it. Because he's committed to me unconditionally. So it's not, it may not look like a perfect journey, but there's a perfect leader. There's a perfect leader. Where I'm slow, he will be slow with me. Where I'm fast, he will be fast with me. Where I need to, he will adjust everything. I'm led by God. 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 Speak in other tongues and thank you. I want you to leave this service confident.